Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
Yep. Sometimes they're longer than you think they're going to be. I thought this was a five issue.
Yeah, you know.
But it makes sense.
But sometimes there's just like a little two issue arc that they just slap on the back of.
Yeah, to throw in there.
Something else. And it's, you know, good. Which is fine.
Yeah. But this is an Eisner book that we're reading.
Did it win?
It won one of them.
Which one? Like best ongoing?
Best book ever made. Eisner.
They give that one out?
Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is the best. They created the best book ever made, ever. And will never change for this year. Okay, so... best... new series, Absolute Wonder Woman.
New series, gotcha. Yep. Who else was on that?
Absolute Batman, The Power Fantasy, the Pedestrian, Minor Arcana, and Uncanny Valley.
Hmm, right.
And I think it won one more.
I've been wanting to read The Pedestrian, but it's like, if you didn't get like the single issues, it's like impossible to find. And there's like not, I don't know if you can buy it digitally. And
really?
I think the trade doesn't come out for a couple months too.
Mm.
So it's just like, okay, maybe I'll read that someday.
Kelly Thompson was up for best writer, but didn't win. She lost that to Jean Luen Yang for Lunar New Year Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
And then best cover artist Hayden Sherman was up for Absolute Wonder Woman and Batman Dark Patterns. How's he doing that, by the way? How's he doing both? Because 12 just came out today as of recording.
Maybe so, finished early or something, or maybe he's fast, or
he must be so fast.
I mean, there was a different artist on 6 and 7 of this book, so maybe he's flip flopping or something.
And then Jordi Belair won best coloring for this book and 4,000 others. So
right. What about best artist? Was he nominated for that?
Hayden?
Yeah.
No, just best cover artist.
Interesting. Well, so, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, as you know, is Absolute Wonder Woman. You know, you clicked on the episode.
You clicked on it. You know what you're in for.
Nathan said it. We got Back Matter Matters as well in the poll list, but we start with the news. Nathan.
Yes, Daniel.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I think we should go halvesies on something.
Oh, God.
The highest grade in existence for Superman number one.
Okay.
Is going on in auction on November 20th. They probably when this episode's out. And it's a 9.0 CGC.
So what is that going to be like? Like $100?
Maybe 100 each.
100 each?
I think so.
Should be good. Just to be safe.
Have some wiggle room, you know?
Yeah.
There was
9.0? Where'd they find it?
It was just sitting in a box in an attic in San Francisco. And
the whole house was fucking vacuum sealed?
Fucking apparently. I mean, it wasn't exposed to
like light or
light, and maybe it didn't get that hot in San Francisco, I guess. But some people just found it. I think it was like their grandpa's or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is found like just a couple months ago and then graded, you know? So it cost a pretty penny to grade that bitch.
Oh, I bet.
Because they charge like a percentage over a certain amount.
That's a good business model for them.
Yeah.
A little malicious, but.
Yeah, you're not going to pay $25. So you also have to insure it. I think they insure that too.
Got it.
So
that's crazy. Imagine a TV show where you find something like that, that's crazy, and then you start, there's like a bunch of nerds that try to start killing you, and you gotta keep it from them.
It's just like,
and you gotta run away.
It's just storage wars.
It's just, but with a bunch of like Simpsons looking comic book guys.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be good.
So a couple years ago, there was an 8.0.
I remember that.
And that sold for $5.3 million.
Fuck, dude, this is gonna be so much more.
So but it's not the first appearance, though, right?
Oh, it's not Action Comics.
It's Superman number one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I think it was
Superman
year
number
later.
One 8.0 is sold for
5.3. There's also an 8.5 of Action Comics number one, and that sold for 6 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this might go in that ballpark.
Interesting. You'd think Superman one would have been way less, but
yeah,
but so 5 million.
That's only like
good.
A year after Action Comics number one, apparently. So. Yeah, we'll let you know if we win.
Yeah, I'll put in a bid. I'll be one of the people in the beginning and be like, $50.
It's like, wouldn't even fucking, it'd probably start at like 800 grand or something.
Easily, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that happened.
Alien Earth is getting a season 2.
Cool. Got to finish that.
Me too.
My Hulu account got signed out of, so I've just been like, fuck. So I got to figure out how to get Hulu.
And V for Vendetta. Getting an HBO show.
Like Watchmen? Is like
we
that?
We don't really know if it'll be like Watchmen or not, or if it'll be like a long adaptation.
To be clear, I mean Watchmen, like the TV show, where it's like a little bit different, like way better.
Yeah, like a sequel of things.
Yeah, and like way better than anything Watchmen related.
You know, pretty comparable. You know,
yeah, which is crazy.
It fits well.
You know? It does.
So it might get that sort of treatment or.
I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
Great movie.
I haven't read the comic book either. No V for Vendetta for me, please.
I'm going to add it to your list.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
You got any news?
Yeah, Daniel. Brian Michael Bendis, he's coming back to Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were waiting for it. He's going to come back for Avengers number 34, the 800th issue of Avengers stuff.
Which is it? 800 or 34?
I don't know, Daniel. Someone really messed up somewhere. But he's going to come back and do like a 15-page story with Mark Bagley. And so,
nice.
Yeah. So
Mark
that'd be cool.
Mark Bagley's so good.
Why is he so fucking good?
Why is he not everything?
Remember when he knocked us on our ass for Spider-Man Life Story and that was even that long ago?
Oh, I kicked so much ass.
It's so good. So that'll be cool. You know, does this mean Bendis is coming back? He hasn't really been doing any DC stuff. So
I think he's been doing stuff.
Didn't he make his own imprint in that?
Jinx World?
That might have been it. I thought it was, there's another one.
That's just kind of the label he puts all of his books that he keeps reprinting under.
Yeah, One Hit Wonder.
It's over in like, I think it's a Dark Horse now.
Yeah, okay, that must be what I'm thinking of.
Because it was like Marvel and DC and now it's set.
Yeah.
Or there's some shit Image, you know, and so it just kind of all comes with him.
He prays it around.
Right.
Daniel, new Iron Fist book, Iron Fist.
Deadly Iron Fist?
Deadly Hands of Kunlun, number one.
Oh, okay.
A new Iron Fist comic book series from Yifan Zhang, who did Eternals, the 500-Year War, and artist Paco Medina, who did Venom and Spider-Boy. I think we've read something with Paco Medina, haven't we?
If potentially, or I've seen him on Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen him on Twitter a lot. But it'll be the Lin Lei Iron Fist, who's the one that was in the Deadly Hands of Iron Fist, which I think was the one before.
Yeah.
He's the one in Marvel Rivals.
Okay.
And so I kind of like him for that because he's pretty good and he's way better than he should be.
Where's Danny Rand?
He's in hell.
Where's the white boy?
Where's the white one? I want that one. No, he's currently an undead Iron Fist. He's trying to get out of hell.
Oh.
And
I can't keep track of all these dead Iron Fist titles.
there's a few of them. But,
quite confusing.
Yeah, so we'll see where this goes. It looks like there's
you gonna buy
three Iron Fists in this. So I don't know who this kid looking one is or the purple eyes one.
Well, there's like a luchador one.
Yeah. That's which fun. That one would be kind of cool. We'll see. But yeah, I'll pick it up. I'll check it out.
Nice.
Marvel DC surprise released a crossover comic on their digital platforms. If you pay for their subscriptions, you can read it for free. But it's not really free, Daniel, because you pay for the subscriptions.
Yeah.
But there's like a little surprise one. It was a Thor Shazam book by Al Ewing and Jethro Morales. And then there's, on the Marvel side, The Flash/Fantastic Four by Jeremy Adams and Adrian Gutierrez. Sorry, Thor and Shazam is on the Marvel Unlimited. Flash Fantastic Four is on DC Universe Infinite.
Interesting. They're like full issues?
Yeah.
That's smart.
It is.
Because
if you have one of them, they'll give you a 30-day free like subscription thing to the other one. In that
you comic. Could probably just get like a free trial. Regardless, right?
You probably can, but I think they tell you how to read the other one in that comic. Be like, if you want to read this one too. So, pretty smart from them.
Yeah, because like...
I don't care enough to do all that, but...
Yeah, I mean... I could see them even like printing it one day, you know?
They probably will when they just like do a big omnibus of the crossover stuff. So we'll see.
But yeah, that's good to get people into that. I think there is a ton of value to those apps.
Totally.
But like, I don't even read the shit I have in front of me, you know? Mm-hmm.
Jason Aaron and Juan Ferreira, who were on TMNT for a little bit, are teaming up again, and he's going to be on Absolute Superman 15. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I just like those two working on stuff together, and I think that's all the news I had.
All right, any other what book did we read this week?
We read Absolute Wonder Woman by Kelly Thompson, Hayden Sherman, Jordi Belair, and a letterer that I'm trying to find right now. Becca Carey. She was also, I think she won Best Letterer in the Eisners.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also Mattia de Ulis, who is on the last two issues of this, which is kind of like between arcs. It was like a two-issue arc. But he's the one on The Cole, which we read, and was also an Eisner winner.
So was it? Cool.
The Cole was, yeah. Or no, it got snubbed, didn't it?
I think it got snubbed.
Okay, but they were... Kelly Thompson, I think, won Best Writer.
They should have won.
They should have won, dude. It was so good. Because
that was crazy.
It was insane. So it's cool to see him on some DC stuff.
So we got, yeah, like you said, two arcs, like the first five arcs episodes. There's one arc, and then there's like a little thing in the back.
Yeah.
Perhaps some filler issues for Aiden Sherman. I'm not sure.
I think so. That it seems only, like it would be, because he's doing this and a whole other ass Batman Dark Patterns 12 issue.
Who's writing that? Dan Jurgens or something?
No. Oh, I just saw a tweet today that was like, oh, number 12 comes out. It's no one I've read anything from, I don't think.
Is it good?
It's supposed to be amazing. So
amazing.
Like some people are like, this is the best Batman coming out right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Not that I don't believe them, but that's crazy to hear, because there's some of the best Batman stuff recently.
We got some crazy Batman. Dan Waters is his name.
Dan Waters.
Which I don't even know.
I knew it was a Dan.
Who the hell is that guy? Give me Dan Waters.
But yeah, Dan Waters has been on a lot of stuff. Okay. I don't know if he's...
He does some Nightwing, looks like.
I don't know if he's like been on our radar, you know, or been anything.
Not really. Him, but... The One Hand and the Six Fingers.
Oh, that
sort of
zombie thing?
Sort of Azrael. And then that Arkham City DC Black Label book with Danny.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, that's supposed to be pretty good. But anyway, well, I've read this. I'm not caught up, but I'm only like two behind, and I think it bangs. What did you think of this?
I read the first issue when it came out, and I think that was all that I bought. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy stuff.
It is so crazy.
Very unique panel layouts from Hayden Sherman.
Yeah, he goes insane on a lot of this.
It's as fun as like all the Absolute stuff has been, right? You know? And playing with a lot of ideas, you know, quite a few tweaks to the Wonder Woman lore, you know, and it seems to work together.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, oh, this is where this person is now, you know, it's like everything we know about like her origin is different and what she can do is different.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives like,
it's pretty metal.
Like Jason Aaron Thor to me.
That's, I think,
because of how like epic it is. It's very like,
yeah.
I mean, Wonder Woman's always been like ingrained into mythology and whatnot, but just like how it's delivered,
yeah,
also feels like that.
It,
you know,
totally. I think that's the most apt comparison, if you can compare something like that. But this is like Jason Aaron's Thor, but now, like, this is the recent one that's like going on right now.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting.
So it better go for like 100 issues or whatever.
Dude, I fucking hope it does. Because I read all of Jason Aaron's Thor, and the whole time, pretty much, I was like, this is just cool. And like, I don't really give a shit about a whole lot of like fantasy stuff sometimes, or mythology can sometimes be super hit or miss.
Sure.
But that was a super hit, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know, 10 years ago. And this is a fucking super hit now. Because you're telling me Wonder Woman's riding a fucking bone Pegasus?
Yeah.
That's cool as fuck. She's like using magic with big swords. That's cool as fuck. So this is cool for me. It's my favorite Absolute, easily, for me.
So is Mattia only on those two issues
so
far?
so far is only on those two issues, and I think he's coming. No, I think he will be coming back eventually, but there was Matias Bergara was on the most recent one.
Oh, okay. I saw some of his covers.
Yeah.
Or his cover.
Yeah, so he did the art on it. So I think it's like Hayden Sherman main arc, and then it'll be like some fill-in artist for some fill-in story almost. Because what I like about this is
which is good. It's how it should be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think the redesign of Wonder Woman is great in this. And then just like, it seems like she's almost the Superman of this universe a little bit. In like in the sense of like vibes and like bringing hope and stuff. And what I really like about this book is that it also taps into it. Well, it feels like it taps into some one like Grant Morrison Wonder Woman stuff in the sense that like she's an Amazon and she kind of calls out a lot of humanity's bullshit.
Yeah.
And like how stupid like men can be or just humanity in general with like causing chaos and confusion and stuff. But what I like about this better than the Grant Morrison Earth One story is that she like understands that this is the case a lot of the time. And so she uses that knowledge of like how the war general in this book is going to react and like leads with that knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the Grant Morrison
like,
Wonder Woman,
oblivious to how like she's like seen.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But in the Grant Morrison Earth One book, it's like that kind of same idea, still kind of some of the hopefulness and stuff. But she's like, why are you doing this? It seems stupid that you would like not do everything you can to help these people or whatever. So
it feels like Zack Snyder Wonder Woman, you know, would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How could you? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think that's very charming, a lot of this in here. I just like that she's so confident in herself because she's been raised in hell, you know? And so it's like,
yeah.
She's, you know, a lot of the semantics doesn't really matter.
I wouldn't expect I would get any like confidence being in hell, you know?
But. Well, just like having to talk to somebody that's going to yell at you. She's like, you fucking, I don't need this kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect a lot.
I love a protagonist where you just feel safe when they're like on the page.
Yeah.
You know, because
everybody that talks to Diana.
Whenever there's like someone who's just like a fuck up or is going to cause problems, it just, I don't gravitate towards that. But then I'm like, oh, this person's got their shit together.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what I'm about.
Yeah, it'll be cool. She's here now. Everything's going to be fine. It definitely feels like that. And right. I like that all the characters that like interact with Diana, they're like, holy shit, she's got some aura. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's cool. But I think this rules. So let's get into it. So issue one, we're in Gateway City. There's a big upside down pyramid thing that appears and unleashes flying demon things called Harbingers. Diana the Amazon flies in on Pegasus and casts some magic that causes them to retreat. And then we flash back to years ago and we see the Wild Isle of Hell, which is a prison island for Circe. And one day Apollo delivers a baby Diana, the last of the Amazons, to Circe to protect her from Zeus's wrath. And so Circe, kind of reluctantly at first, starts raising Diana in hell without being able to tell her origins as an Amazon. And then in the present day, a big Harbinger Prime demon comes out and Diana tries to reason with it, but is forced to fight it to protect the people. And that's pretty much this whole first issue. But
Kelly Thompson loves Big Monster on a Beach.
I love a Big Monster on a Beach too. I'm like, because what I love is that the scale is often compared to like a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, like this. Like,
there's like a Ferris wheel on the pier. I don't think you see it in this issue, but you see it a lot in like the rest of the book. And I'm like, a Ferris wheel's pretty big.
Like, so just next to it.
Yeah, I love, but I mean, she's good at Big Monster on a Beach, so why do anything else?
Yeah.
But we saw it in the coal. So that's what you're referring to. Insane aura from Wonder Woman with this design. I like the tattoos on the arm. I think the armor is super cool. I like that it's kind of like a red and black. There's not really a whole lot of yellow in there.
Probably gold, but...
Yeah, probably some gold. And a big sword, Daniel. Comes out of a magic pouch. You like a big sword?
I love a magic pouch more.
Dude, magic pouch is cool. I like that she pulls it out of that magic pouch, and you're like, that pouch must be magic, because that pouch isn't very big for the size of that sword. So what's going on here?
Yeah.
Must be magic.
That's definitely like, she's got it all, you know? She's got quite a bit to work with. And
yeah. She's got some more gadgets and gizmos. I like this idea that Diana was raised in hell, but kind of still shows this like unending compassion for all the creatures there. Because when she's like being raised in hell, she's like trying to get different pets and stuff.
Did you see that she like yeets a snake?
Yeah, that the lettering is yeet. I think that's what got Becca Carey the Eisner, actually. One panel.
That's the award-winning panel right there.
Yeah. So Cersei gets delivered this baby from Apollo, Miss Diana, and she's like, I don't want this baby. And then she like leaves it out to like die. She's like, she's technically not my responsibility. And I think that's crazy. She's like, I don't want this. It just puts it on a rock somewhere, and Diana almost gets eaten by a snake.
Yeah. I mean,
wild stuff.
Were you going to raise baby in hell, you know?
Yeah.
But she realizes there's She's potential like, there. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, she can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is that there's these double page spreads of, you know, the room or whatever that they live in, this little cave. And then, like, on the second set, there's, like, just this support beam that's, like, in the middle of the room that shows up. And I was like, what's that about? Just to add, like,
they added like
a homey aura to it, you know? Or did they realize that like the roof is gonna start caving in?
Maybe it rained and then it was like it started caving the roof. They're like, maybe we need some support.
I feel like they're like in a mountain, you know?
Dude, that's so funny. I didn't even notice this beam here.
Yeah, I mean the cave becomes more and more homey, you know, Diana gets older and whatnot.
Yeah.
Her name is Diana in this, right?
It's Diana, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't know that she's an Amazon at first, and so she doesn't have like the name Wonder Woman yet until like the third issue, but
and she's also a witch.
Yes, because Cersei is like a witch.
Yeah, like teaches her
and so shit. She teaches magic, and I like that. I like the magic in this book because it feels like structured more so. Like you can't just have a thing. You can't just like Doctor Strange some thing and make it all cool. Like for any big monster, like there's some stakes throughout the book.
Sure.
Which make it not annoying for magic to be a thing. And it looks cool, which is arguably more important. But
I like a good sentence to describe like a mythical object, you know? So the sword, it's called the mythical Athena blade made by Hephaestus? Hephaestus? I don't know.
Hephaestus, I think.
I'm like, good sentence.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's hardcore. I would say that every time I pulled it out.
The full legal name? No, I got to say that every time.
That's how it is on the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them is like, she has a lasso. I didn't write down what the name was, but it's got
Nemesis.
Like, it's got like, yeah, well, Nemesis is the name, but it's also like forged in the fires of fucking this dude. And then it's like, it's got like four subnames.
And it
and she says
burns it in proportion to your sins.
That's fucking sweet.
So hard.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm in.
We'll get there. But issue two, Diana goes to fight the Harbinger Prime with Nemesis. Her red lasso deals pain proportionally amount of sin a creature has brought. And so Harbinger Prime is like, no, thank you. He retreats. And then we jump to the past and we see the story of how she meets Steve Trevor. And he somehow ends up in hell. And Diana saves him from like a Hydra that's trying to pull him into the water in hell. And Diana brings Steve to her home to protect him. But in the present, Steve gets Diana a talk with the general, where Diana warns of something bigger coming because Harbinger Prime was just a messenger of sorts. She just doesn't know what it is yet. And then a couple minutes later, we see the giant monster, the Tetracide, approaching the city. Daniel, did you expect an even bigger monster in this book?
Yeah, because they said, oh, this is just like a herald of what's to come. I'm like, oh, bigger monster.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much. This one feels real big because you can see the Ferris wheel there.
This one is very, very much like the coal, it feels like. Or like it just reminds me more like it. And then it's also like
I think
dusk,
it's,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
colors, gives that color scheme too. Is similar, but I remember the coal monster not having a whole bunch of tentacles. This one kind of just reminds me like a beetle or something. And I think the coal monster feels like a dinosaur type thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, very similar. Idea, big monster on a beach, but I like the scale.
If I read another Kelly Thompson thing where there's a big monster on a beach, I'm like, hold on a minute.
We have to call her out. We have to put a petition together or something. I don't know what for, but we're going to get her to stop.
Yeah.
We'll create a support group for people scared of big monsters on the beach.
Yeah. Interesting, it happened twice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Three times, kind of. In two different books.
Yeah, though. Dude. Reusing. But no, it's always cool. I just love a big thing.
Dude, big thing. When they're drawn
like scale and shit.
Because like it's very apparent in this, I think,
It's bigger than the buildings.
It's so much bigger than the buildings.
Like, obviously, I'm partial to, like, celestials and stuff and like, yeah, cosmic shit, because I'm like, wow, they're so much bigger than the planets.
Dude, I think it's just big things freak me out. And so I think that's why I like Eternals more than, like, most people.
What's that phobia? It's like...
Thalassophobia?
Yeah.
Is it the ocean?
I think it's big things in the ocean.
Let me look it up. If I start screaming, you'll know why. Thalassophobia. Persistent and intense fear of deep bodies of water. Okay, so that's just ocean.
Oh.
But I think...
Just type in big fear of big thing.
Okay. Fear of big thing. Megalophobia.
Megalophobia.
That's okay. So much lamer sounding.
Yeah.
Oh, megalophobia. Yeah.
Well.
But that's like, but then the example picture is like a big...
Is it like a big propeller on like a boat?
A cruise ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cruise ships are kind of crazy.
How are they floating?
Yeah. I'm like,
maybe I should be scared of them. I've been on one twice, but fuck.
Yeah. But we're just trusting this thing with our lives.
Yeah. What if it tips over?
There's a pretty popular movie about that.
What if we happen to all run to one side of the ship at the same time? Is it going to fucking flip over?
It will tilt, I think. No, probably not.
How much trauma do you think Titanic did
to the people? Cruise industry?
That, but just like people getting on big boats. So yeah, I guess the cruise industry. Because that was probably the first time someone ever thought that some shit like that could happen.
But like back then, I feel like news didn't travel quite as quick. You know, so
but that movie was giant. It was the biggest movie of all time.
Well, that movie was like the 90s, and then it actually happened in like the 30s or something.
Yeah, but people probably didn't know it happened in the 30s, so they see this and they're like, holy fuck, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
It probably did damage it a little bit. It's kind of like Super Size Me.
You mean the people that were on the boat and they...
No, I'm saying people that went to go see the Titanic movie... Probably were just like, I'm not ever getting off fucking boat ever again.
I don't know.
They see the dude fall and hit the propeller before he hits the ocean, and it's like kind of a funny scene, Loki. But
that's just the dramatization, you know.
So you don't think it did anything?
But there's no shot that it. We don't know for sure if that actually happened. You know?
Yeah. Fair enough. I wonder how Steve Trevor ended up in hell, because it seems like a little out of place. And
we're gonna find out.
I hope we do, because I'm on like issue 11 or 12.
There's a lot of.
It seems like
seeds that are planted.
There are.
They're at this.
And what I like this moment when Diana's talking to Cersei and saying like, oh, is this a trap or is it a gift? And she like looks at Steve. And I'm like, that's a little cute.
She looks back.
She's like, maybe it's a gift. A gift of a cute boy. And I kind of like that scene. But yeah, Steve Trevor's like super bummed. He's like, dude, I thought I was a good guy. Why am I here? And I'm like, yeah. I agree with him. There's probably some mix up. I wonder how he died initially.
Internet search history, you know?
Yeah, I guess that'll get you. So there's this scene with Diana meeting the general dude, and it's great because she absolutely dominates the room. Like, she looks down on him and shit and saying, you will need my help, so let's work together to save more lives. And I love that. She says, I'm an outsider in an element that you cannot control, and that frustrates you, but that is not my problem. And I think that shit goes hard.
Hell yeah.
So. She knows what she's worth in this situation. I also like that Pegasus is named Pegasus because it is the Pegasus.
It's like the Pegasus?
It is the Pegasus. Like the name of it is Pegasus because that is Pegasus. You know what I mean?
Mm.
In mythology, I guess. But she's like talking to Steve Trevor.
Is that what
about
they call him in like Hercules?
Maybe.
Think so.
She said, my winged horse is the great mythological winged horse Pegasus, born of Medusa's blood, slain by Zeus. And that's why it's all bones, because it was slain.
Pegasus, name Hercules, thank you. Oh, yeah. Just Pegasus.
It is?
Yep.
Damn, she stole that from Hercules? And Hercules or just stole like, that from history?
Or just Greek mythology that's been around for thousands of years or whatever.
Issue 3. Diana puts some slowing magic on the Tetracide and regroups with the military to warn them. She says that the Tetracide is going to use a sound that forces people to walk towards the Tetracide to be eaten. And knowing that she can't beat it, Diana tries fighting it to allow the city some time to evacuate. We jump back to the past in hell. And Diana finds a spell that would get Steve Trevor out of hell, but requires the sacrifice of cutting off her own arm. And then in the present, Diana has to get rid of her arm because she's caught by the Tetricide, which is actually a magic arm. And so she escapes the Tetricide and she like gets this metal prosthetic out of her pouch in the meantime. But now to protect the city from the Tetricide sounds, she broadcasts on the news that she is using magic to deafen the entire city. And relies on, like, she puts faith in the kindness of people to sort of help each other through this time. And so she deafens the city. Pretty cool.
So this issue starts off where we see her on the news and she's like flying in front of the big monster.
Yeah.
And then she comes back to the bar or whatever where they're all set up.
Yeah.
And someone's like, "What did you do?" And she's like, "Just some magic to slow it down." And I'm like, "You did some magic to it?
You did some magic."
And I was like, "What?
Do we need to see it?" I don't remember.
I was like, "Was there a spell or something? What spell like slows that thing down?"
What's interesting is that they never say the word spell in this book.
Yeah, they just do some magic.
She always says she did some magic, which I kind of fuck with. Because it's like, why are you specifically avoiding spell?
I'm like, there's definitely, like there's a little like pot of fucking potions and shit in like her room, yeah. You know, is all purple.
Mm-hmm.
You say shit when you mix that shit.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I agree. We don't see how she slows it. But
I was like, okay, they do some magic.
They do some magic.
The magic spell that they need to add some, you know, some dialogue.
I like that. She's not that good at magic. Like, she's pretty good, but she's not professional necessarily, like Cersei is.
Sure,
she just knows of a lot of magic. It's like if I were to go like fix my car. Like, I know a little bit, but I'm not going to be, like, fixing my, like, rebuilding a whole car from scratch or whatever.
Right.
That's what it feels like. And I appreciate that, because she can't just use magic to get out of any situation. But I love this.
You can't be, like, a badass with, like, a bunch of tools and be, like, the best magician.
Yeah. But I love this reveal that her cool tribal tattoo arm is just magic, because she cut off her own arm to send Steve Trevor out of hell.
Yeah.
That was super cool.
I'd be so pissed if, like, I only had, like, one arm with tattoos and I lost it. You know? I'd
be like, oh,
like, fuck. You can take the other one.
But she could do some magic and put the tattoos back on.
Oh, she also has a big old axe in her magic bag.
Yeah.
She's got both.
Sometimes
that's
an axe
does... That's absolute Batman's thing.
Okay, she dropped the sword.
She's going to have, like, a particle cape, too. You know?
Daniel, she used the sword and threw it to wrap Nemesis around Tetricide, so she needed another thing.
Tetricide fucking yeeted that shit.
Yeah. And then this is the issue where we first hear Wonder Woman from this character, Barbara, who has like studied the Amazons. But my question is it coincidence that Diana's armor already had like the double W on there?
It's not really a double W. It's kind of just like a subtle zigzag thing.
But she's probably, I wonder when she made the connection, like, oh, that could work.
Maybe she's a big fan of Whataburger.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, she lives in hell, so maybe there's a bunch of Whataburgers in there,
and she loves In and Out. You know,
zing,
boom, suck it, Texas.
I fucking hate Whataburger, dude.
Really?
I've been there once.
Have a patty melt; it's pretty good.
Okay, I will.
I also had this like.
I had it in Tempe, and I think it was a shitty college kid that made it for me.
But most likely,
if I worked there, I probably would have made it.
I think
shitty
I had some sort of like green chili burger or something like that. That was pretty good. I don't know what else is good there, though.
That sounds miserable. I feel like it would just fuck me up.
Now I remember like it. And Patty Bell is good.
Okay, I'll have to try it.
Yeah, and so this magic, the magic that works on everybody in the city magic, which seems like a pretty... Maybe she's a little better than we give her credit for.
Maybe she's not good at like lethal magic.
Yeah, so she shoots her goo like all over the city. It's like all green. It's like...
Yeah, big cloud.
Yeah. Ectoplasm looking goo. I'm sure it's like more of a mist, but it just looks like a solid.
Yeah,
that's gonna be dripping.
In my mind,
everybody.
It's a mist, but it does. It could look pretty solid in this.
Mm-hmm. It's not there in the next issue, so
yeah. I think this broadcast to the city was written super well. She's like very straight to the point. She's like, "It's gonna be freaky, but I'm gonna make you deaf because I don't want you to eat my alien." And then she's like, "I need you to help each other." And at the end, she says, "Wonder Woman believes in you," and I was like, "That's nice." I think that this whole thing was done very well. So,
I don't know if it what it says about me, but I kind of like when Wonder Woman's like a little bitchy, you know, a little like, I guess like, you know how she's in like New 52 at first?
Just like sassy.
Sassy, but a little entitled, you know?
Yeah.
She's very nice here, which is like...
She's very nice, but she also is a little entitled, like, I think.
Not perhaps, but she like...
But she's not saying like, shut the fuck up, do what I say.
You should be a little more bitter if you grew up in hell.
But that's the thing. Maybe we're all...
Yeah, she's got incredible
character. It takes incredible character and strength to not be bitter after being raised in hell. Who says we're not being raised in hell right now? You know what I mean? And it's, what kind of character does it take? Feels like, you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe that's a metaphor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, no, I think... I get what you're saying, and I think that can be done well, but I think that this just gets nailed, like, so hard that it just works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, like, super likable.
Yeah, very likable. So I think this is like the thing that works for me, but I get what you're saying.
Do you think that, I guess, Wonder Woman can be like a little too perfect? You know, like in this absolute universe, like having like...
You hate when a woman is perfect, Daniel?
No, but like, you know, is like, has all the tools, has all the strengths, is also a good person and is like kind, you know? It's almost like... borderline, just like the issue some people have with the issue that some people have with Superman, you know, mm-hmm. It's like what can stop him kind of thing, you know.
I feel like she struggles quite a bit in this just with how far she has to go with some of these like kind of crazy creatures that are trying to cause harm, you know what I mean? Sometimes she has to make that decision to be like, oh, I have to kill this thing just for this is the utilitarian thing to do, I guess.
Yeah, I mean she gives him a chance to like just bounce, but
I like that she tries to talk to it and be like, maybe you should turn away because I'm protecting these people.
I'm sure it'll be written to where it's not like where she just like wipes the floor with everyone and just like they're done, you know.
Yeah, I never got really that sense just in the other stuff going forward, but she's actually pretty, she needs a lot of help in the next arc.
Okay.
She's like actually in a maze like the whole next arc.
Yeah,
which is cool. I like it.
She's not good with direction. Mm-hmm. That's her weakness.
She's like, I don't know, where should I go?
Her lefts and rights.
She needs to watch that Wiggles episode. Issue 4. So Steve Trevor takes Diana to some local witch in Gateway City. I guess they have those. Her name's Gia. And Diana gets some materials to magic her arm back. And then Gia has the stuff in... So Diana gets her arm back after she does this like weird blood ritual. And then the Tetricide has made its way into the city. So Diana gets her sword. She lures out the Tetricide and then uses magic to make it a super big sword instead. Bigger sword and cuts that bitch basically in half. And that's that issue. But very anime solution for this big monster is to just get bigger sword.
Yeah, of course.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
She tried it with the regular sword. She's like, that didn't work. A bigger sword.
Clearly the next step.
Just scale it up a little bit.
Rinse and repeat until effective.
As needed.
Yeah.
But it's funny how nonchalant Diana is about putting a bunch of blood on her face to like resummon her arm from Hecate or whatever the god's name is.
It's not the Mexican beer, Nathan.
Hecate. How would you say it? Hecate. I think it's Hecate. I'm gonna look it up.
Hecate.
Nah, that doesn't sound as cool.
Hecate, like...
That could be it. Welcome to our segment of the show. How do I pronounce a thing? Oh, fuck. This is an ad. Hold on.
No free ads.
No free ads. No,
la, 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 la.
Okay, here it is. Hope this isn't loud.
Hecate in Shakespeare.
Hecate.
I like Hecate.
But that is the best of the options.
Or in Shakespeare, it's Hecate.
We're not doing that.
That's dumb.
Hecate.
Hecate. Okay. Hecate looks crazy in this book.
Yeah, super sick.
Like, no wonder she does a blood ritual to get an arm from this guy, because he's got some to spare. She's got some to spare.
They.
This god.
This is what I imagine, like, Elden Ring boxes look like.
Dude, they do, actually. Both the Tetricide and Hecate both look like this.
Oh, Hecate is a goddess.
Goddess, yeah. Yeah, you could tell that from this. She's got good hair.
And no pants.
No pants. She got her dogs out. That's what I like about this book. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, good issue. I like when she has some sort of spell that lures the Tetricide out to make it think that like people are scared. So it's like lured to that.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. And I like the little insides of the Tetricide. Gross.
Yeah.
This is a lot of organs going on there. But very fun.
Yeah, how do you like just design the innards?
That's what I was thinking, dude. I was like,
yeah, a bit of green here, but a lot of tubes for sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of tubes. You got to cut those tubes in half.
Something's going to be red.
Yeah. Some liver looking things.
Yeah.
Gross. But issue 5, the Tetricide is still alive and begins to knit itself back together. And so Dinah has to stop the military from shooting missiles at it. But she asks nicely to have them stop. And they listen. So that's all chill. But in the past, we see Dinah use her green lasso named Sacrifice to transform creatures. Or they say transmogrification, but I looked up the definition and it's literally just transform.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a whole big stink about how there's like a difference, but I don't think that there is.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go right click synonyms, you know?
Mm-hmm. So she learns the kind of the weight of doing that, transforming a thing. So in the present, she uses it to wrap, she wraps Sacrifice around her own arm and she transforms herself into Medusa, like the actual God Medusa, I guess.
I'm sorry, what?
Which turns the Tetricide to stone when she looks at it. And then Steve Trevor puts on a blindfold. He walks outside. He talks Diana out of the transformation to revert her back. And then just as everything seems to be over, there's a big blue hand that drags Diana back to hell. Like that damn Sam Raimi movie. But yeah. I like that Diana punches the Tetricide at the very end to just like wrap everything up nicely. She punches it to like little stones.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Steve Trevor takes off his blindfold a little early in this interaction.
Yeah,
she's definitely Medusa. And then he like takes off the blindfold like right as she's like still mostly Medusa. Like, how did you know that she was almost back?
Yeah, that was definitely a gamble.
A bit of a risk on his end.
Didn't he like fucking throw something
at Medusa?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where the fuck was that? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
But yeah, I don't think he threw anything at her.
Right, I'll cut that out. But
kind of a crazy idea.
Yeah, but you know, it had to be like, and she just happened to slither right next to the bar, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's whatever. I'd rather just keep going rather than everything be explained. But mm-hmm.
Rather than Steve Trevor like try to drive to her or something.
Yeah. Or do a Medusa mating call or something. Mm-hmm.
It's cool that they tell the story of Medusa and how fucked up Athena was for making her into Medusa. I didn't realize that was like a thing. Or I don't know if this is
Athena like made Medusa Medusa?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Poseidon like raped her. And then Athena's like, well, I'm going to make you this ugly serpent thing as a punishment for what your sin that you did. But she didn't want it at all, I guess.
To be Medusa?
No. She didn't want to have any sort of relations with Poseidon, but he forced himself onto her.
Right.
And then her punishment for that was becoming Medusa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. It seems like they make a point in here that say like some of the mythology in here contradicts each other from different sources or whatever. So I don't know if that's like the real thing, but that sounds about right to me. So
I think like the captioning from, you know, the head or like from Cersei
mm-hmm.
is probably the most accurate, her being a goddess herself.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever the, you know, the nerd here that the
Barbara,
like Amazon nerd here,
mm-hmm.
but obviously what she knows could be flawed here and there.
I bet she'd love to talk to Cersei.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's pretty much the end of the first arc. And then we have these two tie-in issues or whatever you want to call them with a different artist.
It's just the next issues, Nathan.
Next couple issues.
It's not a tie-in.
Well, yeah, I guess just next mini arc.
Number 6.
Issue number 6.
Remember that?
But it starts the next
thing's numbers?
The Lady or the Tiger, part 1 of 2. So yeah. It's like its own mini arc. But we got... This is where we get Mattia de Ulis
I think he kicked in the balls with his artwork.
Yes, you do. But in a good way.
You're like, what the hell is this another cover?
But like in a way where you get kicked to the balls and you want that to happen.
Yeah. It feels nice.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, can't wait for this.
Yeah.
It does, feels nice if you're into that. But it turns out that Hades was the one that dragged her to hell, saying that she cannot leave the underworld. And so Diana's like forced to disarm her weapons. And then Hades is like, what's this red lasso thing about? And so Diana tells a story of climbing Mount Prometheus to negotiate with Prometheus, the guy that's chained up there, about getting his blood to use in a magic lasso, but like used for good. And so Prometheus lets her chop off like the edge of his finger because he's a big guy. And then Prometheus is also like, I like what you're doing. Take this big Pegasus thing in the, from the volcano. And so that's how she gets Pegasus too. But then Diana talks about killing the basilisk by blinding herself so that she doesn't lock eyes with it, which would mean certain death, I guess. And Hades reveals that Circe is chained up there as like a prisoner. So that's a big problem too.
Oh, this is the thing where she throws. Okay. So she threw a thing. You can't look at, she blinds herself, right?
Yeah. So there's a big snake.
So you don't see, like, I don't know.
If you lock eyes with it, you just die.
Okay, yeah. So she avoided that.
Uh-huh.
And then to like slow it down, she throws like a little, I don't know, like a little green goblin bomb.
It's like a stink bomb.
Stink bomb.
Yeah.
At him.
He whiffs
nails
it.
Him.
Yeah.
And so it's like she knew exactly where to throw it, you know?
She studied this thing though. You know what I mean? This is in the underworld. She's lived her whole damn life here. She knows about the basilisk and all that.
But I don't know. Snakes can be quiet.
But she knows where the snake is. She went to it. What are you talking about?
She has to hear it. Like, she's where its deaf. Fucking face is. Though.
Oh. Look up. Do you know how big this shit is?
Dude.
Name one thing this big that's very quiet.
It's still a snake.
It is a snake.
I don't know.
Good job.
You know what I'm talking about.
How did she throw it at it?
And fucking nail it, being blindfolded, being like blind the whole time.
I think it's dank enough to still affect him. I don't think she has to throw it right where his nostrils is.
Right.
Or whatever.
Okay. Moving on.
Even though it seems like she does a pretty good job.
She's kind of like Shazam in a way. Because she's always like, oh, this god, give me the strength to whatever.
Yeah, she
does, like that. It's kind of more praying.
She does pray a lot in this.
Not like actually getting some sort of power or whatever. Uh-huh. But she definitely
but the gods
references
are like,
all of them, basically.
The gods are like, yeah, I could do that for you. That's cool.
We don't even know if they're helping or if she's just kind of helping herself with some prayer.
Just a bit of manifest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't think so, but.
You think everyone's just chipping in?
I think the gods are like, yeah, you could use some of this for a little bit.
I don't know. She's asking for quite a bit pretty often, you know? So
yeah, but for good reason.
Yeah.
How often are you fighting tetracides?
But like, is that a good reason in the god's eye? You know, sure. There's not always good gods.
There are.
You can abuse God's power to where like, you're like, nah, I think you're good.
You think this is week, abusing it?
But it could be. And like,
if you did this shit, they'd say no.
Like, yeah, you have a truck, but it doesn't mean you always want to help people move, you know?
But I think Wonder Woman does. She'd get a big ass
F-150. She's the one borrowing the truck all the time.
She'd buy a fucking U-Haul, I think.
And no, just keep asking her friend with the truck.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a truck. She's asking her friend with the truck.
Right.
But that's all the guy with the truck is doing. That's all he does.
He's got work.
He doesn't. That's literally his work. He gives people a truck to use.
So it's just no one else is praying to the truck guy?
Yeah, but she's like, oh, I'm going to help elderly people move out of their house because they can't do it themselves. Meanwhile, you're asking the same
truck
guy.
You're helping all the elderly people eventually.
You're asking the same truck guy, do I really want
what if someone this basketball else is hoop? Asking, what if someone else is asking for is helping old people? You know what I mean?
There's not a whole lot of Wonder Woman's out there fighting gods. So I think the gods are like, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy art from Ataya. I haven't seen his stuff since we read The Cole, but he rules. He can draw a big man very well. big wet man.
I like his Hades.
His Hades is cool too.
Kind of looks like he's melting, but he is like on fire. It's like kind of like the Hades from Hercules, where it's like blue.
Yeah,
blue super fire. Blue. I don't know if that's like lore or whatever, but I've always seen.
He does seem to always be associated with blue. Was he blue in Lore Olympus?
I don't know.
He was in there, right?
I mean, there's like a ton of different.
Yeah, Hades. He's blue in that one too.
There's,
do you think
there's a bunch of
was
different
it Hercules that just made him blue?
Lore Olympus
forever?
Is very like. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of, it's not, it's like YA, I guess.
But that's not my point.
So I think that's like kind of lends itself. Like if you look up like Hades, like a bunch of different versions comes up, you know?
I looked up Hades and the game came up, which is supposed to be a very good game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I think Hercules just set him as blue for forever. If he's going to have just like one color, he's just going to be blue now.
But like Clash of the Titans, right?
Who cares?
It's just a dude, you know?
Yeah. Well, if he's going to be a dude, he can just be a dude. But if they want to associate a color... Yeah,
Ralph Fiennes was Hades in Clash of the Titans.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Why did that movie do so bad?
Who's to say it didn't? It's got had a sequel.
I guess that's true.
Perhaps, well, critically.
Because fucking... There's big people in that.
Yeah.
You got Avatar guy. Sam Worthington?
Yeah.
I don't know why I knew that name.
He's a pretty big fucking actor.
Is he? What has he been doing?
Avatar. Only. Well, he's been doing like some Netflix stuff, but...
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
Hold on. Yeah, no, dude, that movie did pretty good. It made like $500 million.
I think people just clown on it, maybe, because it was too popular. So maybe I should check myself.
Yeah, maybe.
And my preferences based off maybe of other people's opinions.
Yeah, you owe it a rewatch.
I don't know if I've ever watched it.
Really? It's kind of cool. I remember having an ass ton of trailers. Like, yeah. Or like, it would play a lot in like the theaters.
Maybe I'm thinking of Gods of Egypt.
Probably.
That's probably the one.
The Christian Bale one.
Was he in that?
Yeah, with Joel Edgerton.
It couldn't be that one then.
That was all the guys.
They've never been in any bad movies, any of them. You know, I love a good weapons origin mythology thing.
Do you?
I do, actually. I think this is super cool. She chopped off the fingertips of a big dude after negotiating with him for it. So that's pretty sick. There's this like really cool one in Jason Aaron's Thor for like a origin with Mjolnir and how they got like the Uru that makes up the metal of the actual thing. And that one's fucking sick.
Nice.
And then Odin like controls the cosmic storm and puts it into Mjolnir and shit like that. So that stuff's cool.
For sure.
I'd love to see a big sword origin. I don't know where that shit came from yet.
Gotta keep reading.
But yeah, I gotta keep reading. If there's a promise of big sword origin, I'll keep reading for 100 fucking issues.
I think you just gotta have this little wish list in your mind.
I do.
And then...
And Kelly Thompson listened to our last episode about her book, so if you're listening, thank you.
Yeah, so watch what you're saying, Nathan.
I will. Well, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm glazing the fuck out of this book. Not because I think she'll listen, but I think it's really good. But if you are listening, give us a big sword origin. You'll go fucking 9 reprints, just like Absolute Batman number 1.
I'm asking you not to do that, specifically. We don't need it.
I want it, though, Daniel. Give it to me.
I don't care what you want.
What do you want?
Me?
Yeah.
More Mataya, probably.
Yeah, he's good. He was on like Birds of Prey or something with Kelly Thompson. She told us that he did DC stuff.
Yeah, it was like...
Batman? Batgirl?
No, dude. Fucking anything you say is wrong, honestly.
Dude, I think one of those is right.
You think it's Batman or Batwoman?
I think it might have been Birds of Prey.
No, dude. Leo Romero's on that.
Yeah, but you could have two artists on one book.
No, it was like Zatanna or something.
No, I would have known.
Jessica Jones. Blind Spot.
It was a DC book.
Titans?
Oh, it might have been Titans. Anyway, I think it was just like one little thing that he was on. I think when we were reading Nicole, we said, I want to see this guy on Big Two stuff. And maybe she clarified that she was on Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Or he was on Jessica Jones.
Yeah, you dumbasses.
Which, fair. We didn't we spoke out of
open
turn.
Open a book, why don't
we
you?
We didn't know, yeah. Issue 7, Daniel. Dinah's forced to fight a tiger chimera thing in a big arena in front of Hades and Persephone. We see that Persephone has like a history with Dinah from when she was a kid, but Dinah's put in this arena similar to a children's story that she used to be told from Circe. But she's forced to kill the chimera to get a chance at picking one of two doors that represent either freedom or death. Circe helps signal the freedom door, and Dinah chooses it, and then kind of doubles back and reveals that Persephone has helped Dinah eat treasured seeds from Hades that grant her re-entry to the underworld once every year so that she can continue to see her mother.
But she's going to be there for a month.
Yeah, 1 month out of every year. So she's never going to not see Circe ever again because she'll just come back and do a little visit, which is nice.
Yeah.
And Hades is like, okay, I guess I'll do this, because I guess if he didn't do that, then he would lose his wife Persephone, who's kind of a baddie, and has a crazy design in this, by the way.
Super sick.
Like, what is this headdress thing?
I think she's...
Because it seems like they have... A lot of the gods have, like, one main color, it seems like. But you know that either Mattia or Hayden Sherman, whoever designed this one, like, really went crazy just with this.
Probably Mattia on a lot of this.
Yeah, probably on a lot of this. But I love when you could tell that an artist is the one that came up with, like, the main design. Because how would you even explain what this headdress thing is? You know what I mean? If you were a writer.
I'm like, I think a majority of artists design stuff.
No, but they probably do. But, like, a writer might have, like, some notes like, oh, she'll be green and wear this specifically. But you could tell that the artist went all out on these, which is cool.
Yeah, pretty sick bedtime story, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a princess or something, and then there's like a peasant man that she fell in love with.
Yeah.
And then like the king put the peasant man in front of like two doors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a tiger and one of them was
like a lady.
A lady, but it was like one of his exes or something. Mm-hmm. And the princess is like, I don't want him to go to his ex.
Yeah, that'd be
also, I don't want him to die. But then the story ends, right? She like points towards one of the door, but we don't know which door she pointed to. Mm-hmm. If I read that as like a story to my kid in just a random kid's book, I'm like, this is fire, dude. What the fuck? And then that's paralleled in this book.
Yeah, which is cool.
And
something that surprised me about both Mattia and Hayden Shermer is that they're both really good at this like black figure work thing. Like the silhouette.
Like, it looks like it go on like pottery or something.
Well, the Hayden Sherman has one that's like on an actual pot telling a story when it's like explaining the tetricide.
Love some pot.
Yeah, I love some pot work. So it's cool that they're both good at that. But yeah, cool little fight scene with the Chimera thing. And I like that Wonder Woman's like, please don't make me kill this thing. It's not going to be good. And then she kills it. And then she asks upon Themis, who's the goddess of justice or something. And he gets powered up from all that. Or she gets powered up from...
Yeah, she goes like Super Saiyan.
Yeah, which is super cool.
Pretty tough.
I like that. But good stuff. That's the end of the main story. So let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So we get some Little Diana from Kelly Thompson and Dustin Nguyen. These are like little one-pagers that we're after every issue.
Mm.
And love some Dustin Nguyen. I was very surprised to see him do some of these backup issues, but it's just like Diana growing up in hell. She makes friends with like little creatures and stuff, so you see some fun one page stories, which are pretty cool, of just her and Cersei. And then we got a variant cover gallery. The Absolute covers have been crazy,
so sick.
And I think one of the ones that just gets me is the Dan Panosian ones. But this one specifically, I'm like, why is she looking at me like that? What are you trying to do to me?
Yeah. He's always been really kick-ass. That's like a little more detailed than what he's like normally does.
Yeah.
So his cover work is definitely super solid.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this Wes Craig one is fucking dope.
Dude, Wes Craig, so good.
So good. We got to read Wes Craig.
Yeah.
Maybe some Kaya or something.
Some Kaya's good. Or just Deadly Class. This is the more popular one probably from him. But
this Raphael Albuquerque one's sick too.
Yeah. I like the Mateo Scalera one.
Yeah, of course you do.
What, you don't think Mateo Scalera is good?
He's good. Elizabeth Torque, pretty badass. Good name, too. And Patricio DePecci.
And I like that name, too. But yeah, this is a good cover.
Good name, good covers.
Any cover with Pegasus on it, I'm like, give me that.
Then there's more covers, but we don't know who did them, which is interesting.
What am I just supposed to know?
Yeah, am I supposed to like just track them down or something?
Yeah. Oh, we got some
designs.
Yeah, Absolute Wonder Woman character designs, which is cool. Seems like he was pretty locked in from the beginning.
Just like a little sketchbook of the final design, you know?
Yeah, I like the helmet that she had on in the beginning, but I think...
Yeah, I hope that comes back here and there when she's...
I think that'd be fun when she's really got to like, gear up. I think that'd be cool. But killer design. I think this is like a really, really strong redesign. Actually, I think all the Absolute redesigns have been pretty tasteful, I would say.
I think this one is like practical and not like super out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To where like this could have been just in normal Wonder Woman, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that Elseworlds, which I think it works.
Absolute Batman definitely does. Not Yeah. Because he's got like spikes and shit on his shoulders and whatnot.
That make no fucking sense.
Yeah. But it's just, it's cool. Because Nick Dragota fucking makes it look really cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I would agree with that. I think this is the least like out there, but still works for this.
There's also this book. Like big sword stuff, which is.
That's true. Wild. Yeah, I guess we got to consider that.
But she's strong enough. So it's just normal size sword to her.
Mm-hmm.
What do you rate this book, Nathan?
This is, you know how in Coldstone you can like get the big tubs of ice cream? It's not even just a love it. Like I'm getting tubs for later. You know what I mean?
Can you get a big tub?
Yeah, you can.
How big is a tub? Like
it's like a quart.
A quart?
A quart, I think, is the measurement.
Like
a tub of ice cream you get out of the grocery store.
Like a dryer's?
You can get that size or like an even bigger one.
Wow.
Like it's like this.
Like a bucket.
Like a bucket. I give this shit a bucket of ice cream. Because yeah. I do come back for more. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like only two behind. I still need to hunt down those two other issues, but it rules. This book. I'm glad it deserves the Eisner in my eyes.
Yeah.
100 times over. I like it.
Yeah, good stuff.
What would you rate this book?
I would rate it a drumstick.
Cool.
The one with the...
Big drumstick that you get out of a pouch.
Yeah. That gets even bigger when you're even hungrier.
When you have to overcome the tetricide that is
your stomach. Because it starts off with all the toppings, all the fancy stuff that I think people like to see, you know? But personally, my favorite part is the cone. You know, like, sure. Especially that last bit. Like, the last bite, you know, with like a little bit of ice cream and then like the cone and like all the chocolate that was at the bottom.
What is that in the form of this comic?
I like the Mattia issues more.
Really? That's so interesting.
That were kind of like, it wasn't like origin, but...
There's cool little stories in there.
Yeah, I will appreciate that kind of lore stuff more than Fight Big Monster stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's valid.
I wasn't super high on it, like the first arc.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, yeah, this is kind of like, you know, what we were seeing from just the number one that I read.
Yeah.
And then like 6 and 7 come, I'm like, holy shit, here we go. I probably, if I didn't drop off of after 1, I would have dropped off after 5, you know?
Mm. Okay.
But 6 and 7 is like, okay, there's a lot of meat here.
Okay, cool. You know? Well, I'm glad it ended with a little drumstick thing at the end for you.
Did you see what the rating was on League of Comic Geeks?
No.
Okay.
People have been loving Absolute Daniel, so I'll be damned if it's under 4 or 5, actually. An Eisner winner, yeah. And I think the consensus is that this and Absolute Batman are like the people's top favorite ones of all of them so far.
Of all 5 or whatever?
Yeah. But I mean, they're all really good, so the fact that these are still, you know, from what I've seen, like unanimously people's favorites, there's a couple art house people that like Martian Manhunter the most, but
sure.
I would say this is 4.6 for League of Comic Geeks.
4.6.
4.5.
4.5.
Yeah, give me 4.5.
Okay.
What do they say?
4.7.
Oh, dude, you fucking talked me out of it. God damn it.
I didn't talk you out of it. I just repeated your...
But you put some stank on it.
Like 4.6.
4.6. You're going to say 4.6. Dude, I was so close.
It's because you were disrespecting it, not giving enough.
That's what I thought that people were going to say, because it's a woman, and no one loves to see a woman succeed, Daniel.
Whoa.
So you're not comic book nerds.
But comic nerds are good, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
When you go to 4.7, like the rating, it says exceptional. Normally, it says like mostly positive or something.
Damn, have we read any exceptional books on this podcast?
No. I mean, yeah.
I don't like Watchmen or whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, like there has been. But no, not as far as like we've been checking this.
Interesting.
Mm-mm.
What does it say when it's under that?
Pretty I good? Think mostly positive.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Exceptional.
Like 4 to 4.5,
I think. Can you see all exceptional books?
Dude, you ask me that like every week.
Mm.
I mean, you just asked me last week, but.
Did they do that yet?
I think you can look at like the top ones.
Oh, okay, got it.
What do you think is the highest rated thing?
Did you ask me this already?
No.
All-Star Superman?
No. I need to find that list.
Is it Big 2?
No.
So then...
It's like not what you think, but when you hear it, you'll be like, oh yeah.
Saga?
No.
Walking Dead?
Nope.
Invincible?
Nope.
Not what I think?
Whatever your next guess is nope.
Nah, I bet I could dink. I think I could hit it.
You think you got it? I can't even remember how I found that list, honestly.
Is it the beef?
I'll give you a hint. It's something that we've read.
Oh, fuck.
On the pod.
That doesn't narrow it down very much.
We've done an episode. Narrows it down to 300 comics.
Fables?
It's like considered like a classic. Ooh, I'll give you another hint. And if you don't get it, then I can't help.
Okay.
It is a banned book in Tennessee.
Oh, Mouse?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one to put up there.
Mm-hmm.
I read that shit early, too.
It is... Wait, what did it get? Hold on. 4.8.
Wait, really? It's the number one book in Comixology? I guess it takes a weight or an average of user-submitted reviews, right?
Right. Like, I don't think there is a...
There wouldn't...
Five.
Unless it only had, like, two reviews or something.
Right.
Okay, I see. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan, let's go into our next segment. The poll list, colon.
Shove in your box.
The poll list, what did you shove in your box?
What do we got? We got Kryptonite Spectrum, number 4.
Oh, we're on the spectrum, baby.
Oh, yes, sir.
we're in that spectrum deep.
We got Green Lantern Corps, number 10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Spider-Man Noir, number 2.
Yes. Breakout book of the year.
Let's go. Batman/Static Beyond, number 1.
Oh, yeah. I remember that was coming out.
I might check that out.
I probably won't.
Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring, number 4.
Cool. Marvel, feels like it's been a long time since the third one, but
it has been like, I think I skipped a month.
Oh, okay.
Marvel's 1776.
They're reprinting it?
1776.
Oh, I'm thinking of 1607?
1804?
How many numbers can we go through to get it?
Is it 1806 or
something? I think it's 1607. I would put money on it.
I think you're right, yeah, because it's like super old. Definitely older than like 1602? America.
1602? It's 1602.
1602.
I would have lost money.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. So yeah, the one with like the presidents or something?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. 1776. Yeah. Spider-Man's in it, I think. I could be wrong.
There's a Predator Badlands prequel comic. It's like a one-shot.
Okay.
That comes out.
Is Quay in it?
I don't know. It's a prequel, probably.
Mm, okay.
And then we have TMNT versus Godzilla.
What the fuck are they going to do? You're going to throw a fucking nunchuck at him?
Throw pizza at him?
Stab him with one sword?
Yeah.
That sounds fun, though. Who's doing that? You know?
I didn't look into it. I think it was a good thing.
Mm.
Fucking... Where's my list?
Is it Tim Seeley again?
Dude, it might be.
Not. I mean, that's not a... In a bad way, but I'm asking.
Yeah, it is Tim Seeley in Ferro Peniche.
Okay.
Dub.
Very cool.
Name, what'd you read this week?
I've just been reading stuff preparing for our 300th episode.
Okay.
So nothing I really want to say here.
Okay.
But I'm trying to lock in on that because we are fast approaching.
Yeah, no, it's around a corner. It'll be here before you know it.
Dude, yeah.
You don't want to be like last year and the 3 years before where you're wildly behind.
I don't want to hype it up, but it'll easily be our best episode.
You think so?
I don't know. I just want to get people psyched because we're putting in work for it.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
We're reading every single fucking thing Civil War did except for the bad stuff,
which probably narrows some it bad down stuff. Quite a bit.
Yeah, it does narrow it down.
I read Phantom Road number 6 and 7.
Can I run a tweet by you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was like, you're saying 6-7. 6 is afraid of 7 because 7-8-9, and you're saying 6-7. Is that anything? Because 6 is afraid of 7 because 7-8-9.
I know what you're going for.
Is there a better way to word it? I haven't, or has it been done yet?
Probably has. I think I've seen like a TikTok of that.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought of that today. I'm like, Eureka, perhaps?
You should have just posted. You
should have, yeah.
Oh, and then I read this. This is called Before Chainsaw Man. It's by Tetsuki Fujimoto.
Dude, I thought that was an actual book.
And I'm it like, is an actual book. What are you talking about?
It is? Well, like, oh, sorry. Not an actual book. Book with no pictures.
Manga is actual books.
It is actual books. You're right. I got to check myself.
Comics is literature.
Let me check my privilege a little bit
here. So these are stories that he wrote when he was like in art school. in 17. It's called 17 through 21 because those are like books that he wrote when he was like 17. Between those ages. Yeah, between those ages. There's another one. It's like 22 to 26 or whatever.
You did the show when you were 17?
Yeah. So I read that because I guess Amazon dropped like a anime of it. Like
of this?
Yeah, on Friday.
God.
And I'm like, I've never even fucking heard of this. And I have this physically because I bought it a long time ago. And I was like, oh shit, anime is coming out before I've even read it. Damn. You know, so I blew through that really quickly.
Is it good?
I would like...
Kind of anthology-ish?
Yeah, it's anthology-ish. Okay. You know, there's like...
Because it's just random stories.
They're like 30 pagers, you know, which is like not that long in manga, but each of them had like enough sauce to where I was like, okay, there's like a point to this, you know, not just like random shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's cool seeing like his art like get like a little bit better, you know, in each one.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
He's pretty good for 17.
Yeah, for sure. So I read that.
That's super cool.
But did you watch anything?
Yes, I watched The Chair Company.
Let's go.
I caught up.
Nice.
I was in.
Yeah, dude.
I was only going
to
watch
like feels like one a or weird two. Thing to binge.
It's so weird.
Like it works so well week to week right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the cliffhangers have been like, how am I supposed to think about anything else?
It is so good.
But what's funny is every cliffhanger is a fake out.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I think something about this just like clicks very, really well.
Yeah.
Because it feels there's Tim Robinson comedy, but there's actual drama and like crime investigation and mystery or whatever.
There was like something that was kind of fucking terrifying in this. Spoilers for like episode 3 or whatever.
Oh, in the closet?
He gets a text of a picture of him sitting down.
Oh my god, yeah.
And he goes and looks in his closet. That was the end of
the second episode.
There's a fucking dude in his closet.
Dude,
I was like, dude, I was like fucking frozen.
That was, yeah.
And it's a weird fucking guy that he doesn't know.
And then he gets tackled in his house and runs out. And he's like, we gotta make sure my family didn't see that. I'm like, dude, you just got fucking attacked. It's crazy.
I love one of the things that like never fails to get me to laugh is like whenever he just yells.
Dude, he yells. He's got the best yell.
He's like, shut up, Barb.
He's like yelling at his wife.
Because he's like, he's embarrassed. He's like, yeah. Shut up. And it's like.
It is really funny.
It's so perfect.
Or whenever he's yelling at the chair company to like, you don't think it's a little weird? He says that a lot.
Yeah.
And that just hits. He's got a lot of vocal stims that I like to do.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
Aren't you so glad that you listened to me?
I did.
Did you watch Friendship?
Not yet.
Get into it.
I'm gonna.
If you're, it's like, it's so similar. It feels so similar. It's such a good companion to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the episodes are so quick. Like,
did you watch episode 5? Which is the most recent one that came out on like Sunday or whatever?
Yeah.
The way that one ended is crazy. It's just it's a guy watching the it's like Mike or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
he's watching a video. And I'm like, wow, that's a hard dick right there. And I'm like, surely they won't show it. And then she puts her mouth over it. I'm like, whoa.
Imagine you like recommended this show to like your boss or something. Oh, and you have to go into work after that episode.
Yeah, I'd be like, ooh. Like, you catch the latest one? This, I don't know, it's super fun.
It's fucking weird.
I like the development. I like the perspective of like the family kind of catching on that he's super focused on something that they think is bullshit, but it's clearly not. Or maybe it is. Maybe he is like coming up with some shit in his mind or something. But
he had quite a bit of like research, you know. I thought his daughter was like on board. I'm like,
yeah, well,
yeah, he's got a point, you know?
She's a good actor because she was on board and I was like, something's off here.
Yeah, she's like, can I see your phone? I'm like,
and then she just left 360. Oh my god, dude, in the last episode he takes a video of him like fake cheating on his wife. It's so bad.
I could not.
I was he catches someone that, like cheating on his wife and he's like, what are we doing? He almost gets killed.
I'm not here for you.
Dude, the amount of times he is like getting punched on or something and he's like, why? I don't want to do anything. Or like, dude, the last episode got really fucking weird because there's that guy with like the caved in head a little bit.
He's fucking
I'm like, dude, there's
no, he's gonna fucking
hit. And there's so many moments that he does like an elbow, like a drop elbow thing.
Yeah,
it's just so funny. And so then, like, awkward
he's like helping the dude not get his sleeve in the soup. And then you just dip it in. He's like, look, I'm like, this is like a fucking fever dream. Like,
it feels like it feels more and more like a fever dream as it goes on.
Yeah.
And so I think he might be like actually going insane a little bit or something.
I that's just kind of like one of those things where everyone thinks he's going insane, but he's like onto something, you know? But
yeah. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's super fun. Yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Nice.
Parker's really into it right now too.
Parker, like he knows good TV.
Yeah.
Say what you want about that guy.
So, yeah.
He can't really focus on anything.
No.
But well, a good 30-minute show.
He doesn't watch anything over 30 minutes. He hates movies most of the time.
That's valid.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. You're fucking cooked Zoomer brain. But no, he likes this. So I was like, okay, maybe
good,
I should.
Good.
I was going to.
Are you fucking serious?
That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But I was like, okay, if even the guy that hates watching TV and only watches fucking Adventure Time recently is saying this shit's good.
He's watching.
Parker's never said,
It's Always Sunny.
You should watch this. You know what I mean? To me? Unless it's a stupid movie.
Have I told you to watch stupid stuff that often? I feel like when I tell you to watch stuff, it's like, because I think you will enjoy it. You know what I mean? What do you mean real shit?
Not like. It's not something that everybody can appreciate, but somebody that watches a lot of movies could, I guess.
Just remember, I recommended The Rehearsal to you. Season 2.
Yeah, and that's up there for, like, best season of television this year.
For sure.
It's like that in The Pit. I think I like The Pit a lot more. But you told me to watch The Pit, too, and that's great.
Yeah. All right.
I've been watching your shit.
Just remember.
I hate when I do this shit to you, man. I validate you. You tell me something's good, and I watch it, and I say it's good, and then you take credit for the show being good?
Yeah, because I helped make it.
Helped its ratings by one.
Months later. I just want you to... I know you don't always have a thing to watch, and then I tell you to watch a thing, and then you don't for a while, you know? It's very frustrating.
I'm not always watching a thing. You know?
It's true.
Sometimes I'm playing a thing. That's just me.
You watch anything else?
No.
I go through, like... I watch like a lot of movies. Sarah put on Life of the Party, which is the McCarthy. What's her name?
Jennifer.
No, Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The actress.
Yeah. It's a movie where it's basically the plot of like an extremely goofy movie where like the parent goes to like college with like her kid.
Oh, okay.
And then she just thrives.
Is it a cartoon?
No, it's like a real, it's like a live action.
I'm less interested.
It's not good. Don't watch it. I gave it two stars.
Oh, wow.
I watched a movie called Joyride, which is like, it's a comedy. And it's got the daughter from like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I didn't know anyone else in it.
Cool.
But it's like a, it's kind of like The Hangover in a way, but just all Asian women. Okay. You know? That's pretty good. It's funny. Like the shit that I was like not prepared for, like what happened in that movie. And I don't think anyone would be.
Hmm.
But pretty good. 3 stars.
So just a little bit better than the last one you said?
2 stars to 3 stars is a very big jump. Okay. Life of the Party like wasn't unwatchable. Like some of it, like I think there's some funny things to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like it just was kind of boring, you know?
Got it.
Burn After Reading. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's a Coen Brothers movie. It's got Brad Pitt and George Clooney. And...
Older movie?
2009?
Okay.
Who's that dude with the voice? Not Walken. The other one. It's as old. John Malkovich.
Oh, okay.
John Malkovich.
Does he have a voice? He's got an accent.
An accent?
Yeah.
An accent from where?
I don't know, but he's got like a, maybe not an accent, but a cadence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voice.
Sure.
You know, he's in it.
Cool.
Oh, Tilda Swinton's in it too. There's a lot of people in this. Very good. A strong 3.5.
Okay. Anthony Fantano over here.
Yeah. Strong 3.5.
Light 6. Strong to medium 6.
Yeah. I think it could be an 8 on a rewatch.
Whoa.
One of the funnier like Brad Pitt performances. It's cool. Like it's like kind of, it's like a silly movie and like could be dumb, but it's just kind of written really well. You know, it's like multiple storylines that seem unconnected and eventually just become connected all of a sudden. And then you're like, oh shit, this is bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I liked it a lot.
That's fun. Did I tell you I was watching Death Note last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was last week, but yeah. I don't really know how to pronounce this. Bugonia?
Yeah. You saw it in theaters?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I had the day off yesterday.
Did you see it with anybody?
Sarah.
Oh, okay.
She also said, had the day off.
Okay, cool.
You have to watch this.
Dude, it looks so good. I haven't watched any Yorgos, but I have been really wanting to.
You would love Yorgos.
I would love a Yorgos.
He's got sauce for days.
Cool. Yeah, this one, I was like, maybe we should watch
this one. One's going to be like in the best picture race. It's a top five for me this year.
There's been good movies this year.
It's been, I was like not big on this year. And then like some things come around and like just kind of like surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is awesome. Sarah really liked it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't think she'd like it, but she was pretty into it.
Would Sophie like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's like hard to like, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, you got to, if you like get a chance, if you like, I'm not sure what to watch or like if you in the mood to go to the movies,
mm-hmm.
you got to watch it. We're not going to tell you anything about it.
Sweet.
Then we watched Predator Badlands, Nathan.
Oh yeah, we watched Predator Badlands.
We liked it.
It's good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, go watch it. I liked it. I think
like it's a good movie.
I it might have been a little bit overhyped, but it was still in my mind at least, because a lot of people were saying that they liked it, and I didn't think that people would.
Right.
So it seems like the general consensus is people like it, which I didn't think was going to be the general consensus.
Right. Because
it's like a weird Predator movie.
Yeah, but I think it's like a Predator movie that's almost more commercial, it seems like.
I don't know. I don't think so.
We see the Predators talk, and they like become relatable. Because they have dialogue now, and they're not just like...
Yeah, because we couldn't understand them before.
Yeah, they're not this like mystery being, you know, that like doesn't even, we haven't even like seen them speak, really. It's just like the growling or whatever.
Oh, is that
like
true?
I don't think they've ever really like spoken to each other.
Well,
in like any movies,
I don't think they've ever tried to communicate with like people or whatever, because they can't understand each other.
Sometimes they have like little recordings or whatever, but I've never seen them like talk to each other or anything.
Got
so
it.
This is like kind of a leap.
I don't think this is like a commercial. I mean, it could be. I don't know. This is like the first one that they released in theaters in a while, so I think they wanted it to be a commercial success, but
it
still seems like a big swing.
Yeah, there's like no...
Because there's
little
no,
humans in it.
There's no... Yeah, human people. Yeah. It's all either Predator, Alien, or... No, well, not Alien, like Xenomorph, but it's all Predator, some alien life form, or...
Synthetic.
Yeah. Which is cool. I didn't... Spoilers, I guess, for this, but I didn't expect there to be any, like... Weyland-Yutani stuff.
Yeah, that was crazy.
When they said that, I was like, this is fucking cool. It's like, it was a nice little surprise. I like a lot of the ideas in this, too.
AVP3, dude?
I know that it's happened before. I didn't think it was going to be in this movie, though, is what I'm saying.
Right. No. It's funny that Dave Trachtenberg is like making this trilogy.
Oh, he's
and also just working towards it.
Yeah.
He's like, I can do this right.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely still like the guy for this, you know?
Totally.
And if he's still down, then...
I'd watch five more of whatever he does with Predator.
For sure.
Easily. So I think all of his last three Predator things, I all rate very highly. I just think this is... It's a tie with Predator, Hunter of Hunters.
Killer of Killers.
I think I was thinking of Hunter x Hunter. But I think it's about tied with the level of enjoyment I had for this, and then Prey, I think it's still his biggest banger.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of the ideas in this. I think it's cool to see a Predator in a situation where he's not the ultimate fucking killing thing or whatever.
Yeah, to be kind of outmatched.
He has and he doesn't have his tech because he crash lands there or whatever. So I think it's cool. He's got a bit of tech, but not as much tech. He doesn't have his shoulder cannon thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like that he has to do Naked and Afraid type thing.
Got
to
be resilient.
Yeah, yeah. And this planet. It's fun to see a deadly planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a cool planet.
Razor grass. You got some poison fucking lizards or whatever.
The razor grass is stupid as fuck. But like, okay. It's like long pieces of grass that have blades on the end of it.
Yeah, it's an alien planet, Daniel. Have some whimsy, maybe.
I don't know. It was just ridiculous.
And then I like that the animals that are there are fucking super tough because they have to be. So like the big rhinos or whatever are just walking through the razor blade clip grass because who the fuck cares?
Yeah, and their faces open up.
Yeah, their face opens up. That's fun. And so, and then I like just the idea of he's adapted to everything at the end, and so he makes his own, you know, suit of all the stuff that he's interacted with and can somehow control that lizard to spit. Did any of that make sense?
I think
he makes the nature suit thing at the end and makes his own weapons. You know what I mean?
I think I might have dozed off around that time.
Oh, okay. That was the coolest part. I liked he made it his own helmet and shit. You didn't see that? Yeah.
I guess not.
You fell asleep for a little bit of this, didn't you?
I could have swore I was asleep for like 30 seconds, but...
No, he does some cool stuff. I thought he was going to make a cloak of like the razor blade stuff. And I was like, that would look cool as shit.
That would poke him in the ass.
It would, yeah.
My favorite part was, I can't remember what happened, but there was like a big explosion. And he turns around, he's like, and then it's like the big explosion behind him is the dumbest shit. Because that's like,
I don't even remember that, but you laughed
at it because it was like so weird.
It sounds funny, but I don't remember that.
It was in like slow motion too. Like it was, it's so funny.
I think I do remember actually. Yeah, this movie is funny, which works and then it doesn't work. I think it misses more than it hits, but sometimes it hits.
They have like a little buddy who's like, you know, imitating him when he's got like dangerous weapons and stuff.
Yeah, that's fun. I laugh when there's like weird alien culture. Like he spits on you to make you family or whatever.
Oh,
yeah. That's pretty funny.
Sure.
I saw a Letterboxd review. It's like, so that guy that spit on me on the subway in New York, that just means I'm family.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, there's no new fucking gadgets in this. But there is like a kind of a laser bow thing, which is kind of cool.
There's a laser sword.
And then like in like the first scene, he's got to get on this mountain and he's got this shoulder thing that shoots. And then he just like reverse zip lines up.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I'm like, that's the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, they got some cool tech in there.
How's he going to get on the mountain?
Here's my fucking question. Who's the tech predator? Who's the IT guy predator?
Oh, you know who's making all the gadgets?
Who's making the gadgets?
Some fucking nerd.
If you're a nerd, do you probably also have to be tough and kill things? Or are you good just being like a little bit tough and you build things?
These are questions that...
Because they put a lot of weight to being like being a tough motherfucker. And Deck, who's the main character's name, he's a tough motherfucker. But maybe he just isn't smart enough to do tech stuff. So they're like, you need to be tougher. You know what I mean? Because they have... fucking crazy technology. They have spaceships that fly, but then their civilization just looks like some shit you'd see out of Dune. They just live in like a little sand mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who's the tech guy?
This definitely has to be like a support team.
Because if we're gonna go to
you have to code a lot.
Is
of that
this the
shit.
First Predator where we see like the Predator planet?
There in Predators, there is a planet where they take people, and there are predators there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the Predator planet necessarily.
Okay.
Isn't there a fucking one? It's like Killer of Killers is the one where it's on like a planet.
It's
like
on
their
a
planet.
Yeah, it's on their planet.
Right. So.
And so even there's got to be some construction Yautja, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
There's got to be some.
Blue collar Yautja.
Blue collar Yautja. There's got to be some designer Yautja because the guy with the fucking. Dread cape or whatever it was at the end of Killer of Killers, skull cape. Chain cape.
It was like spines.
Spines. That's what it was. That's sick.
Yeah.
That Yautja was cooking. Whoever
came up
with that.
How they keep all those together? You know.
Yeah. So that's what I want to know. I want to know the guy that's on the who's the salary man.
I think you know, if all goes well, all will be explained. You know.
Hopefully.
So I'm sure Deck will. Find his way to like their big predator storage area or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Would you kill me if you had to? Like in the
if
beginning
I had to? Oh, yeah. Like if you were weak?
Yeah, if I was weak.
Yeah, easily.
Okay, cool.
There can't be weakness in the clan.
What was
it? Or whatever. Quay?
Quay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kill the fuck out of me, I think.
Thanks. there, I kind of like that there wasn't any real connection to like. The other stuff that's been happening, like the last two movies, Like, it felt very, like, standalone in a way.
Yeah, that is good, because Killer of Killers, I was like, okay, we're just building up to something.
Right.
And that still very well may be the case.
I don't think this would go well if, like, it was, like, a finale for this two streaming movie trilogy, you know? Yeah,
I do think we'll see Deck again in some Predator thing.
Probably. I like his little ponytail of his dreads. That was fun. That's a good look. Because normally it's like their hair's down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
It seemed like he had like his like the sides shaved. I'm like, can you just cut those off?
Who's the Yatra barber?
Is that hair? Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he had a little chipped tooth. They, for some reason, felt the need to do that. It didn't really matter, I feel like, but.
He chipped it himself?
He had a chipped tooth. He didn't do it himself, though. He already had it existing.
He had quite a bit of personality already, but, you know.
Elle Fanning is cool.
It's crazy how many like twin movies we had this year. Like, I know
Sinners, this one, and that's it.
Mickey 17.
There's that Robert De Niro one.
Oh, the show?
No, is it a show? I think it's a movie where he plays two roles, but they're different people.
The Sympathizer?
Didn't that come out this year?
I think it was last year.
I think it was this year.
Okay, well.
What other twin movies?
There was another one. There was like four.
And these aren't twins. They're just androids, but or synths. Or right. What are we going to call them?
But I don't know. I don't think I'll ever really be able to find it.
Yeah, there have been a lot of twins.
Mia Goth plays two people in Frankenstein.
The Alto Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that came out this year.
Did you say Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Okay. When you said... For some reason, I was thinking Robert Downey Jr. Probably because of the Robert thing, but that didn't click for me.
Yeah, Alto Knights, he's a twin or something in that.
Dude, I sent you a meme on Instagram.
I checked it.
You probably won't see it for a couple months.
Yeah, I don't check it very often.
But it was like, I love Guillermo del Toro movies. And it's like, me too. But it's like Hellboy and Blade and Pacific Rim is like what the dude's thinking. But
then the girl's likes thinking the shape like of water
Frankenstein. Shape of water.
I want to see Frankenstein. It looks good.
On Netflix.
I know. He does have like Dude Hell Yeah movies and like
he's got
very tragic, you know. He definitely have two flavors. But yeah, I like this. It's fun. I just like the idea of it, and I like that someone had this idea of like, what if it's fucking Predator on an alien planet? He's gotta survive instead of other people having to survive him, and it works. So
yeah. I don't think I was like, but
I'm not blown away either.
The Elle Fanning character, to go back to that, I don't think I need like a sassy robot and like everything. She wasn't quite that. She was like a little different than what we've seen in that kind of genre. She's or whatever.
Definitely needed in this movie though to be a universal translator and like someone to guide or whatever. But
yeah,
I think it was good.
Yeah, overall it was good.
I like both halves of her in this movie.
And then they tease that there's a Predator mommy.
Yeah, Predator dummy mommy.
Yeah, dude.
Because the women are like more powerful than the Predators, aren't they?
Dude, typically? Are they?
Yeah.
They're like ladybugs?
That's why. Yeah, dude. They are.
Or is that how that works? Or is that,
that's what I read.
There's a crickets? I don't know.
I think the women are.
Or no, maybe it's the fucking. Is it praying mantises?
I don't know enough about bugs.
There's one where they like eats the dad or whatever.
The seahorse for seahorses, the men get pregnant. Did you know that?
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that fun?
Play.
The woke got them. I'm just kidding. So yeah,
they're making the seahorses trans.
I guess the frogs are gay. Have you seen that?
I know you're referring to something
from fuck, what was it? That stupid motherfucker. InfoWars. The InfoWars guy?
Oh, yeah. Like Alex.
I forget
his
name.
Alex whatever.
Yeah. He's got a really funny clip where he's like, they're making the frogs gay. It gets me every time.
Anyway.
Yeah, I heard from somewhere that people were like, yeah, it's known that the mom predators predators are crazy.
I'm obsessed.
So.
I can't stop thinking about someone who has to design like a female Yautja, and it's like, how thick do you make her? You know,
she's gotta have an ass.
And does she how bad do you make this predator, you know?
Imagine, they have to be tough, dude. Imagine Birth of a fucking Yautja and the spiky teeth.
What the fuck? Yeah, dude.
Yeah. They gotta be tough as fuck.
It's like, how wide are these hips gonna be? I don't know.
Dude, the hips are gonna be so wide. I won't be able to handle it.
And so I'm really looking forward to like whatever that is.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Such a tease, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited to see how they continue this.
Like, are the dreads longer? Do they have the eyelashes, you know?
Dude, eyelash would be so funny. How many boobs they got?
At least six.
that would be absurd. If it's anything over in like...
Instead of abs, it's just boobs.
If it's anything over in three, I would be amazed if they have that many boobs.
We'll see. I don't know. Well, I guess like when you see like predators without like all the armor, they're just like dude bodies.
Yeah.
So they have like
lizard skin type thing, right?
I guess. I don't know. Sometimes it just looks like male skin, like dude skin, human skin. So maybe it's just two boobs.
Yeah, could be. Here's a big question, Daniel. Is this better than the best Predator movie, The Predator by Shane Black, with Keegan-Michael Key in it, for some reason? Because there's no dogs in this.
No dogs.
But that means no dogs die. Also a positive.
No giant predator.
No bigger predator. Actually, there were some bigger predators. But he could.
But that's not, just because, not nearly as big.
Yeah. Whatever those were.
There's no... autism superpowers.
Yeah, that's also tough.
You know, this one just does not have a lot going for it.
you like the Predator better? I definitely had more fun watching the Predator because I was like, what is going on? I was caught way more off guard with the Predator than I was with Predator Badlands.
I think objectively, like, this one is better. Yeah,
totally. But the best Predator is always gonna be the best Predator, yeah, in my mind.
Of course.
So
anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
We got another free week? Or was something happening?
Kind of.
What's going on?
It's the last week of November already.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Get your Christmas presents, everybody.
Yeah.
It's coming fast, right around the corner.
Yeah, dude. You brought up a couple years ago about reading November by Matt Fraction.
Yeah.
House of Chartier.
I would still like to do that.
While it's still November.
Yeah.
I think we
can swing that.
If there's any month to do it.
It would be this month.
Tis the season.
It is. This is the month.
You want to do that?
November. Yeah. 100%.
Easy. Alrighty. 100%. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Send an email to traverspod@gmail.com. Tell us what your favorite absolute book is.
What's your favorite Predator movie? Is it this one or is it the best Predator movie, The Predator, by directed by Shane Black? If you haven't seen it, go watch it going blind.
Yes.
It's the best one.
Oh, I guess we kind of spoiled a lot of it.
No. not really. Just know that Keegan-Michael Key is in it. And he
and
does
that's
his
why
thing.
You should watch
and
it.
That's why he's in it for some reason.
You should... The origin of Absolute Wonder Woman's sword be explained.
Please.
Should we see it?
Kelly Thompson's listening right now.
Kelly Thompson, don't do it.
And vote on your phones now.
Always keep it a mystery.
Do it.
You know, leave you want something to the imagination.
No. All right. I want no imagination for me.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.